Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Oh, wow. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Good evening. Tonight, we're going to be doing a bit of a roundup, a lot of things to talk about in the world of evangelicalism and all that's going on in the world. So there's going to be a lot to cover. So we're going to talk about, obviously, the titular topic, which is the Jordan Peterson on the Jubilee thing. We're going to talk about that. I do also want to talk about Phil Robertson and his death, his legacy, and a little bit of James White, some funny memes that have not gone over well with him. Maybe discuss that and his kind of tirade against the nons, and maybe some extra thoughts on the Chris K-Dub scandal, if I'm feeling like it, we'll see, and maybe some meme review. I only got like three memes, but they're pretty good. So that is the plan for tonight. You got any opening takes on the opening topic of Jordan Peterson?
I mean, I saw yesterday, I believe, where an academic agent asked the question of which of the following four has lost the most stock in recent years. It was Shapiro, Douglas Murray, Jordan Peterson. I'm lapsing on what the fourth one is. But yeah, it's a clear choice that Peterson has lost the most stock of all the people that kind of were, I guess, considered reliable like eight to 10 years ago, or were on the whole intellectual dark web camp, as it has been called. And Peterson, again, he had the highest stock, and his stock has crashed the hardest because, I mean, compared to the other names, I mean, Douglas Murray is homosexual, so that kind of limits his upside and how much you would trust him, because that's just he's a libertine at the end of the day. Versus Shapiro, who was always a neocon, and his stock didn't necessarily fall. It's just that it's not going to grow. And if anything, it falls because the environment has worked against him, from going from neoconservatism to paleoconservatism, thanks to Donald Trump. So Peterson, his demise was more or less self-imposed. And a lot of people mark it with him signing with the Daily Wire as kind of being the sellout point. Obviously, he had the whole Benzo thing, which precedes the Daily Wire contract. So his decline,
kind of flipping about selling out to the Daily Wire. He was pretty flipping.
That is true.
That.
He did, but make it.
Yeah, you brought the four names that were on that poll. The other one was James Lindsay, who I didn't think was ever good. He didn't lose credibility with me. He just never had it because, again, his critiques against wokeness, all he did was take screenshots of what they wrote and posted that on social media. Like that's his claim to fame at the end of the day.
And he did the fake study,
back in 2018, which most people didn't even know about until well after the fact. Like who cares? And so then you have Douglas Murray, who was never good, never sharp, wrong about wrong about everything.
He might have been decent on immigration, but at the same time, he's like the one libertarian type guy or libertine that is like good on immigration, but he's sawing off the branch he's sitting on, which can be a statement applied to all of them.
And then Ben Shapiro lost credibility in 2020 and 2021. To say that he in 2024 or to 2025 is when Ben Shapiro lost credibility is a massive being behind the times thing. But yeah, in the last 12 months, I think Jordan Peterson's decline, yes, that is noticeable. And to me, it has to do with him trying to get into teaching on the Bible. And he has some of the worst exegesis I've ever heard, worse than like a Joel Osteen type. And he does not want to submit. He wants to come to God on his terms and not on the terms that are laid out.
Yes, he who wrestles with God, but, you know, it's going to be his way instead of God's way.
Yeah, and that's just not how it works. There's a level of pride there, and maybe that's what shows up. So I guess that's a good way to open up, because yeah, let's dive into some clips. Really just one clip, because that's really the only clip I want to do this live stream on, because I don't know. I feel like if we do an entire live stream going through the
It's a Jubilee video
thing, they're just gonna copyright the
There's not
YouTube on live streams is way worse about copyright than on the rest of the stuff. Nobody special for the super chat says, I feel like Daily Wire hiring Jordan was like Disney buying Lucasfilm. The plan was to always get rid of the competition. That's an interesting take. I actually like that. I mean, Disney killed an aspiring science fiction franchise because of their acquisition of Lucasfilm.
Yeah, could argue it was already kind of.
John Carter of Mars could have been a bankable franchise.
Talking about that one.
Yeah, yeah. When they bought Lucasfilm, they basically killed that. And that's a pretty decent movie. Like, that's a popcorn mass appeal flick that is pretty decent. But then they made Force Awakens. Force Awakens is number 7, which is terrible. But I don't know, because $4 billion is what they paid for Lucasfilm. I think it was mostly a stock purchase, so there's no real $4 billion of Disney stock.
I mean, there might have been royalties. Cash
and stock. I think it was cash and stock.
Well, but also royalties to Lucas.
And then there's another one. Dom Mizzy, 626. I'm not surprised at all what JP said long time ago. He said he was Eastern Orthodox and he did not go to church. If you're unwilling to submit and be corrected, then are you really a Christian? And yeah, there is a thing about Lone Ranger Christians out there. And I think that's what a lot of people who want to wrestle with God or come to God on their own terms. Maybe you've met people like that. I know I've met some people like that, you know, that you know, refuse to go to church, but say they have a right relationship with God and stuff like that. And that's oftentimes a pride thing, because you're not obviously submitting to what the Bible says. You're neglecting the fellowship of the saints. So,
you know, as my pastor said this past Sunday, you know, Christianity, you know, when Jesus talks about the flock in John 10, you know, the sheep hear my voice, again, sheep being plural, which means, you know, Christianity is not an individual, like it, Christianity is not individualism, you know, contrary to what the James Lindsay's of the world want you to believe, or Joel Berry. It's not individualism. It is collective. It is a group. You are supposed to be part of the group.
Yeah, or I mean,
sheep,
there is
supposed to be in the herd.
There is a salvation at the individual level, but you know, the Christian walk is not to be alone. You're not supposed to be walking alone in the faith. And a lot of people try to atomize it, and you know, there's too much individualism that largely comes from liberalism separating people from, you know, natural human affections. So, yeah, that's a great point. And let's dive into the clip. It's the clip that I think is like the seminal clip from the entirety of the debate. Really just comes down to this one clip. Because this clip was so bad that they had to change the name.
It's title and the name change. It kind of says it all.
Yeah, they did a name change on this. So, you know, this is an instance of Jordan Peterson never debating an atheist like him before actually being true.
Not relevant.
Because you go to a Catholic church, don't you? Or you've attended recently. You're interested in Catholicism, aren't you?
Sure.
All right. Are you familiar with their doctrines?
Somewhat.
Okay. You're
their
familiar.
Doctrines are very
how do
deep.
They regard? How do they regard Mary?
Why are you asking me that?
Because you're a Christian.
You say that.
So I do want to pause here. Like, what is the purpose of asking of the why are you asking about Mary? What's the atheist Reddit argument for asking about Mary?
I mean, obviously the virgin birth is going to be a major sticking point on a lot of people. I don't know why people get hung up on that miracle more than like others in the Bible. But yeah, the virgin birth can be a sticking point for a lot of people. I don't know if that's where he's going to go with that. And, you know, that's kind of like the mystery is what is the Redditor atheist going to say? in response to the,
I mean, I feel,
or what is his follow-up question?
I never got into the whole Christian versus atheist debate. You know, I watched God's Not Dead. I liked the movie at the time. When I rewatched it, I hated the movie. So, you know, goes without saying, but I never embodied the character from that movie and said, I want to be like him. No, that's just not my life story. I didn't get into the whole Christian versus atheist debate. And I said on a previous live stream or something like that, it's like, I didn't really become the Debate Me Bro channel that maybe I thought I was going to become when I started this. Like, maybe I thought I was going to go in that direction. I just didn't. So I guess I believe that, you know, the news gathering part is the more useful part. So that's kind of what we did here. So, okay. You didn't know the, where the Mary line was.
I'm assuming he's going to go into the virgin birth. Maybe somewhere.
Well, if you were to have, you know, gotten a thought out about it. So I guess we'll continue.
I haven't claimed that.
Oh, what is this? Is this Christians versus atheists?
I don't know.
You don't know where you are right now.
Don't be a smartass.
Well, and I mean, either you're a Christian or you're not.
To you if you're a smartass.
Oh, either you're a Christian or you're not. Which one is it?
I could be either of them, but I don't have to tell you.
You don't have to tell me. I was under the impression that I was invited to talk to a Christian. Am I not talking to a Christian?
No, you were invited to.
I think everyone should look at the title of the YouTube channel. You're probably in the wrong YouTube video.
You're really quite something. You are.
Aren't I? But you're really quite nothing. Right, you're not a Christian.
Okay, I'm done with him. Why is that?
So that is the viral clip. Yeah, I thought that was actually a rare Reddit atheist W. Like, that is an extremely rare event where a Reddit tier atheist just scored an absolute W there, because yeah, that was a sick burn at the end. Like, credit where credit is due. The roast fall on the just and the unjust alike, I guess. And he was right. Like, the name of that video was, you know, one Christian against like 19 or 20 atheists. That was the name of the video. They changed the name of this video because Jordan Peterson, I would say, did so poorly, but did not live up to the hype. And part of that's on Jubilee, because they should have done a little bit more research.
A guy who's notorious.
They were dumb.
Basically, yeah. Teaching the Bible, but literally claiming not to fully adhere to the teachings of the Bible. Like, I don't understand how they missed that and how they were framing this entire video, other than, oh, we got Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson likes to talk about God. Therefore, let's have 20 atheists line up against him. And I think that's all that was going through their heads. They didn't really care about the actual, I guess, specifics, because they're probably just godless people themselves.
Yeah, I'm going to lay out two options. One, Jordan Peterson was purposely chosen to misrepresent Christianity because he's not a Christian. Or two, these people are so godless, they don't know the difference between Jordan Peterson and someone who's nominally Christian versus someone who's...
I'm arguing the second.
Okay, you're saying they're so pagan
they don't understand or care.
And to some degree, there's a lot of that. The people that go after Hillsong, for instance. You know, Hillsong's done a lot of bad things, but they've also been attacked for some rather unnecessary things as well.
I mean, Joel Osteen's been attacked for, like, liberal causes, even though he supports liberal causes.
Yeah, so there's a class of people out there that don't know the difference between real and fake Christianity, and they'll just go after anything that even... They'll go after even false teachers because, you know, at the end, there's still the counterfeit versus the real. They don't understand the difference. So there is a bit of that. Obviously, you could put on the tinfoil hat and believe that they chose Jordan Peterson as a subversion tactic, but would they have changed the video afterwards if that were the case, even though Jordan Peterson here denies?
And again, they could not have.
It's a private matter.
They could not have predicted that Jordan Peterson was going to flub on that question. Normally he's kind of done the I don't know where I'm at yet, or he's kind of done some. He has answered this question before, so it's not like he's short-circuited on the question before and, like, just walked off, or in this case, shoved the guy in, you know, swipe left on them and send them back to the cheap seats.
Right. And when he talks about Christianity being a private thing, like, oh, your faith in Jesus is private. Again, that's in part a little bit of a denial. Speaking of Peter, Peter's son, I mean, when Peter denied Christ three times in one night, what exactly? Well, he said he didn't know Jesus and that he was never with Jesus and that he never knew Jesus. This is a little bit less severe of a denial, but it is still, I'm not saying I'm a Christian. I've never said I was a Christian. He's saying that. That is a denial.
Now, again, Joel Berry no way around this that. And be like, oh, look at all these people trashing Jesus or trashing Jordan Peterson. And Joel Berry actually, and then, you know, people were pulling that exact scripture on Joel Berry for defending Jordan Peterson.
Which scripture? The one I just said about denying Jesus three times?
Or okay. He who denies me, I will deny before the Father. Like,
right. And that's what happened there. There is no way to mitigate. Oh, he didn't want to, you know, he didn't want to deal with the atheists and who wasn't asking a question in good faith. Even if it wasn't in good faith because it was a Reddit tier atheist, you're going to get bad faith questions. That's why you're there. You're there to answer bad faith questions. But at the same time, it is very fair for him, who was probably invited to a Christian versus atheist debate. I think he was probably honest about that because the initial title of the video was exactly that.
I mean, he could have literally.
So he was telling the truth. He knew why he was there.
He could have just done the whole, my wife and, is Catholic, I'm not.
Right, but he wasn't. He asked a little bit about his wife there, but he wasn't. You know, but Jordan Peterson was asked if he was a Christian. And at the end of the day, he denied it. I mean, that's a yes or no question. There is no, that's a private matter answer. So I have no respect for that level of cowardice. I just don't. And I was reading, you know, I'm in Judges right now on my read, and the story of Gideon is quite fascinating because over 2/3 of the men that Gideon calls are cowards. And I just wonder, is that an accurate ratio for real life? That 2/3 of people are going to be cowards? 2/3 of people that are on your side are going to be cowards. Is that life? Is that what life is like for everything? Is that like an accurate ratio for all of life? I wonder. So those are some of my Bible commentary thoughts at the moment. So you have any last words on Jordan Peterson?
I mean, again, this is kind of predictable, and in some sense the decline is happening a lot faster than a lot of people would probably have thought, especially since, you know, like 2 months ago he was basically using the ADL sponsored research to decry Christ as king as hate speech. So, I mean, yeah, a lot of people have taken notice of Jordan Peterson. The Overton window on him has shifted fast. And he's the type of person where even, like, you know, people I meet, you know, doing the whole touching grass thing, you know, as the kids would say. And, yeah, people will talk about Jordan Peterson's decline. And it is something that will come up in conversation as you meet people and talk about these things.
I'll read some chat before we move on to the next subject. Spanish Baptist. Peterson's posture in this clip is very telling, hunched over, frail, not confident. He did seem pretty rattled in this clip and the other clips. I didn't see a single good clip of him. I mean, he had like a long-winded clip about, you know, free will. It's like, I mean, you know, someone of the Reformed persuasion is like, yeah.
I mean, again, you compare that.
Atheists understand.
Compare that to like Knowles or whatever, and generally they're like, you know, relaxed in their position.
And then they had the follow-up comment. The Reddit atheist rattled him because Peterson couldn't block him and was forced to engage. Well, he did end up blocking at the end there. He's like, yeah, I'm done with him.
It's a good little Twitter.
I didn't even know you could do that. I thought it was when a majority of people raised the flag, and that's when the guy gets the hook. Like, I didn't know that you could be in the middle and just quit. I didn't know you could do that.
I don't even know what the rules were.
I didn't know that was part of the rules. I just thought,
okay, you had like 30 minutes or whatever the clock was 5 minutes or whatever, and that was it.
Yeah. So let's shift gears. Phil Robertson has died. It was announced that he had passed away on Sunday, and I can pull up the article. He was how old exactly?
79, I believe.
79 or 76, one or the other. But yeah, 79. So Phil Robertson died at age 79. He had Alzheimer's, and he had it pretty bad. So this was not a surprising death, but it nonetheless is a sad death. This is a big time loss for the church, in my opinion. Like, and some people have tried to counter signal Phil Robertson by saying, you know, he's not part of a good denomination, which, I mean, yeah, I'm sure that's true. But at the end of the day, first of all, you know, there's like the South and the Southern culture. It's like probably a lot of the churches down there, even the ones in bad denominations, are better than, say, their Northern counterparts. Like a lot of these United Methodist churches that insisted that they oppose gay marriage and left the, you know, are fighting to leave the UMC, they're in the South. So even the Southern Methodists are better than their Northern Methodist. But I digress a little bit. I believe his faith background was like he was in a Campbellite church, which is like an 1840s movement, and you know, anti-Calvinistic and stuff like that. But a lot of churches that start out from that era that have very specific theologies, their distinctives do get watered down over the decades and centuries. That's just a natural fact. Even the Seventh-day Adventists aren't as extreme as they used to be. So there's a lot of things like, you know, movements like that that get watered down. And they're basically indistinguishable from other charismatic-leaning churches out there. So I'll just comment on that theologically before, you know. The biggest issue with that family is, they're, you know, Sadie Robertson Hupp is becoming a Paula White.
Yeah, I mean, there,
like, I think that's the biggest is theological little, concern with the,
let's say, Robertsons. Selling out would be the way to call it. And yeah, Sadie Robertson being a essentially the next, I don't say Beth Moore in the making, but let's just be honest, that's what's going to happen. She's going to basically be a Lifeway author in like 10 years, if even that. And I mean, yeah, they kind of had the bad comments on the whole, you know, the chosen project.
Which again, I was thinking Sadie Robertson.
And when I wrote on that at the time, I actually said that they would not have allowed or even tolerated a gay pride flag in their house where they were filming. So again, I don't think they would have tolerated that at the time, or at least they created an atmosphere where someone would have been uncomfortable having a homosexual flag in their house.
Or they would have been combative. Yeah,
but someone would have thought twice before doing that, which probably was not the case on the Chosen set. And again,
it wasn't.
The silver lining in Phil Robertson's death is that he probably was in a lot of pain in the days leading up to it, or really the months leading up to it, because the last report that the family gave on him was that he was in a lot of pain, too much pain to even do duck hunting. So,
oh yeah, I remember saying that.
And that was in December. So we're, yeah, you know, 6 months, I mean, further.
He's with the Lord now.
So he was in a lot of pain in the days leading up to his death.
And let's just talk about his legacy. Like, the guy was pretty cool. He had like a dramatic conversion story, but outside, yeah, I'm not saying that that's cool to, you know, do the sex, drugs, rock and roll thing, but you know, his backstory is pretty cool. Like, he played football at Louisiana Tech, I think, university. And he was a starting quarterback over Terry Bradshaw, who would eventually be in the NFL Hall of Fame. Like, that's a pretty cool story. Like, just, you know, that you were that.
Yeah, you started over a famous NFL quarterback. Not just like someone that made it to the league, like a guy that was on TV afterwards.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, he threw a lot of, his interception to touchdown ratio wasn't great, not Terry Bradshaw, but nonetheless, you know, dude won Super Bowls and took hits and played through concussions, unlike you know, a lot of people nowadays. Anyway, that's pretty cool. He invents a duck call for, and then starts the company Duck Commander. His degree, I think, was in physical education. So it's like he goes from that background to, starting a duck call company. And that's really cool. I appreciate the starting a business journey and stuff like that. And then he eventually somehow landed a TV show pitch for A&E because they wanted a reality TV show about a normal family because that was so unique at the time.
When you have like 16 pregnant or, you know, like these like morbidly obese people and like TLC and just like, or even just like the Duggar types. Yeah. A normal American, you know, a more normal American family or evangelical family is kind of a change of pace.
I will add one more thing to what their appeal and probably in televising is. In America, we've seen a massive shift in like cultural focus over the decades. The South was becoming cool and has been becoming cool for, you know, since Leonard Skinner, ZZ Top. King of the Hill takes place in Texas. Sandy Cheeks from SpongeBob, Texas. So Texas was very much in trend. And they're like, Louisiana. Yeah, cooking. Yeah, you know, because Louisiana is one of the states. It's probably a top five state in terms of food in cuisine in the United States.
It doesn't hurt
a lot
that,
of it, you know, rural,
it doesn't hurt that
rural
Katrina
American
happened and also highlighted the plight of Louisiana.
Yeah, so they're shining a light on Louisiana. They're this family in Louisiana that again, very much in bed with the culture, very much in the know of the culture, the redneck culture in Louisiana, and they were, you know, shining a light on it. America's like, yeah, these people are cool. And that show was a hit. Like, we watched that growing up. It was great. It was a good reality show. I think the problem with reality shows is they didn't have a lot of rewatch value, in my opinion. But Duck Dynasty was a pretty good show. It was quality entertainment. And every episode at the time, I don't know if it's still the case, probably still the case, they ended it with a prayer. So it was very evangelistic as well.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
So, as far as the show goes,
it was kind of like, yeah, you know, a lot of it was the episodes, you know, it was just a bunch of dudes, you know, just shooting it in the office. And, you know, therefore, that's like the rest of the episode. And, you know, it's almost like The Simpsons in that regard, where it's just like you're talking and then next minute you're doing something that's like completely different to what the beginning of the episode was.
Yeah. And people thought that a lot of that was staged, but it's like if you ever do monotonous work like that, like they're hand assembling duck calls or whatever. Like that is monotonous work. There's things that you do throughout the day to break up the monotony and stuff like that. So,
I mean, yeah, there's some, I thought might play it up or you might actually indulge what you're talking about, but.
Right. But I think a lot of that stuff was real and, you know, they're weird people and it's, and, you know, people in the duck call room and stuff like that. So, with that said, they got pretty controversial. It was like 2012 or 2013 was around the year where they got really controversial because Phil Robertson gave an interview. I believe it was with GQ magazine. I have to go back in my memory here where he said two things that offended so many people. One, and this is the one that got the most attention. He said, you know, he was against homosexuality. He was very much against homosexuality, made that clear, didn't understand why people were gay when, you know, he talked about, you know, vaginas and buttholes and stuff like that. He said something like that. It was pretty based. And then the other thing was he basically said that the Civil Rights Act was not necessary because of his experience. Everyone was
people were happier than listening to the to the effect of what he said.
Yeah. And he says that, I was poor and work picking cotton just like they were. And so he said something like that and, questioned the necessity of the Civil Rights Act. Two things that were very ahead of their time,
like 10 years behind their time, 10 years ahead of where the movement is now, where you can openly question the Civil Rights Act. Now you can openly say that, you can start talking about how South Africa is worse off post-apartheid, and that, you can probably make the argument that, apartheid was actually necessary. You could actually bash the legacy of MLK, which, again, you weren't able to really do that in 2012, but now that is more or less mainstream.
Yeah, especially since you're right about the MLK thing and, Juneteenth, George Floyd, there's an article in some liberal magazine about how, George Floyd's legacy is being harmed by the right wing. Is like, yes, that's a good thing. We shouldn't have been doing statues of him. He shouldn't have been given a golden casket. Yes, these things were wrong at the time, even. So I just wanted to celebrate that because he did not back down when the cancel culture woke mob went after him. He did not back down. And this was in a time where Americans were willing to fight the cancel mob. They were willing, Chick-fil-A happened, and then Chick-fil-A betrayed all the people that like came out and stood up for them. But, people stood up for Chick-fil-A when they didn't back down to the woke mob. Then they backed down to the woke mob. And then Phil Robertson comes around. He does not back down to the woke mob. He gets more money out of it for not backing down to the woke mob because the show is super popular and reality TV shows are super cheap to make. So when the renewal comes around, the price of the brick went up and, they made a lot of money off of, they made so much money off of that show, and good for them. Good for them. Especially Phil, because I thought he was, I think there's a lot of wisdom with him. Like, I don't agree with everything he's ever said. I think he had like a bad take on, say, Romans 13, which, COVID would have shown was a bad take, but maybe I don't think he was, I don't remember him being pro like lockdowns or anything like that, citing Romans 13. But I heard a bad Romans 13 take before lockdowns came. And then anyway, so those are some of my thoughts on that. He stood up to the woke mob before it was cool to do so, and when it was a lot more dangerous to do so. I mean, he was like, Christians back then, 2013, 2014, were begging for courageous leadership. And Phil Robertson showed it, and people rallied to him. People rewarded that. And then after Phil Robertson's day, I don't want to say 15 minutes of fame or whatever. But after that, there was a huge, there's Tim Tebow, which that was like 2012. What was in between Phil Robertson and Masterpiece Cake Shop wasn't exactly
big of a personality. So the case with that's after
it wasn't as big. Yeah,
so and that you're wasn't still as talking big. About what occupied that gap?
What was his take? He had a very Romans 13 means obey the government always type of take that was unqualified and stuff like that. Like, even would include listening to police when they're kind of abusing their power and deferring to them and stuff like that. Like, I didn't.
I mean, it would have been good. It would have been a good take for George Floyd.
Oh, come on. Anyway, so it was something like that. But there was a void in Christian courage, I feel like, for a long time after Phil Robertson.
And to some extent that does undergird the rise of Trump and coming down the escalator in 2015 and how he was able to just dominate on the debate stage. Cause again, a lot of the Christian evangelicals in the institutions, they were the Ted Cruz's.
I mean, Phil Robertson backed Ted Cruz in the primary, just saying, but the more devout evangelicals did.
No, but I mean Ted Cruz and his temperament, not necessarily like Ted Cruz in what he believed then. But they were.
I'm just
which he doesn't even uphold to now. But a lot of Yeah. There's a reason the bull in the China shop of Donald Trump captured a lot of like evangelicals at the time, and you know, the whole lone bulwark thing is because they were looking for that MS, a leader that would be irreverent and transgressive to the opposition.
I mean, I don't want to be disrespecting people that would have fit the mold, but I just feel like there's a total lack of courage for like a long time there.
Yeah, I know it's kind of partially because that whole post-Obama re-election, that lull.
I mean, wokeness took over during the Obama administration and people didn't really realize it until, you know, 2020. And
again, I imagine, you know, if you parallel the politics at the time with the church at the time, because there's pretty much a one-for-one parallel. And always, the aftermath of 2012 was we got to pretty much diversify the Republican Party, big tent to win elections or we lose. And that was what the church said. And that's,
I think the church had been saying that,
but obviously I think a lot of that stuff ramps up.
I mean, I think when you go back and read John Piper's Obama inaugural article, John Piper, you know, clearly fell for the support Obama or your racist messaging, if not also probably peddled it. So there was that messaging. Like that's when the church went woke. And then, or at least started to. I think that's your pinpoint moment. And when things got taken over, yeah, I mean, 2020 came around. They were ready to go woke. Like they were ready to struggle session you. Which, by the way, May 25th, the same day that Phil Robertson died, was the 5th anniversary of George Floyd. So, nice juxtaposition there that I think you brought up first.
It's the day one of the, the Black Lives Matter Advent calendar, which ends with Juneteenth.
So, as far as I'm concerned, Phil Robertson is a hero of the faith and, you know, well done, good and faithful servant is probably what he's hearing right now. That's as far as I'm concerned. Not going to speak for the rest of that family, but Phil Robertson, I think, you know, the OG patriarch of that family, he was legit. All right. Final thoughts before I move on, because we got some internet.
I mean, he did his job. Nothing more to say than that. But yeah. He did it often when no one else was.
All right, we got. Do I want to show the cartoon or do I want to provide more context first?
A little bit of context might help for this one.
What's the way to put it? I mean, James White versus Anons, I think is a pretty good transition to even talk about. We talk about Jordan Peterson, someone who's very egotistical and does not like Anons. I mean, that also describes James White. And, full disclosure, Evangelical Dark Web is a team. We got three people on our little team here. And Defiant Baptist is like the other person on our team. So just a full disclosure on that, like, not that was hidden, like he's very vocal. Hey, he published this article and he lets the internet know. And he wrote this article on our site and stuff like that. So he wrote an article about James White versus the Anons, which coincided with a lot of events going on about him and stuff, James White and versus him specifically. I'm obviously not going to just keep it safe here in some ways, but James White called for him to be like doxxed in a way and people listened to him, to James White. Like James White's got some people in his audience that would dox people like us.
No, James White himself would dox people like us.
Maybe, but James White's probably a little bit smarter than Josh Bice that he'll have someone else do the dirty work for him, in my opinion. Like, Josh Bice was amateur. That was, like, dude, you're trying to be Big Eva, but you mid-Eva.
And you mid-wit.
You got to get other people to do your, you get other people to do your dirty work.
Also, you don't
like
post
this.
An email.
Or he was maybe the other person doing the dirty work.
Also, you don't
else,
post the but, email you know, with your name in it. as a screenshot.
Yeah. Because that was probably his actual email that he used, not the email that he used, his actual email address, and not the email address that he uses for the burner accounts. Like, seriously. Anyway, yeah, that was amateurish. And someone made a cartoon about James White and also Jeff Durbin.
Another little, person who would dox you if you know, you stepped on, if you stepped on his sneakers.
Because Jeff Durbin, for those who don't know, Jeff Durbin does have a history of recording, you know, private phone calls to use against people for criticizing him. Like, that happened. I think that video is still on YouTube, because the story is, like, I believe it's Tim Hurd. He, criticized Jeff Durbin about something, or was unfair to Jeff Durbin. He called Jeff Durbin to repent about that. Jeff Durbin recorded that. And then Tim Hurd had a different criticism of Jeff Durbin later on. And Jeff Durbin published that phone call recording on the internet to use against Tim Hurd for criticizing him. Like, that's
my understanding. That video is still up.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's really bad. You shouldn't do that. Again, repentance should mean something. And was it Tax Slave Dave on Twitter X said two things. Like, you know, if you're going to go after Christian nationalist pastors, it should be for, one, an actual sin, two, a recent sin, and then three, an unrepentant sin. Like, going after things that were repented of from a decade ago is not going, we're not going to turn on someone for a repentant sin from a decade ago. Some of us also have pretty bad sins that we've repented of from over a decade ago. So you're not going to convince us with that. Like, not all the people, you know, a lot of people in the Christian nationalist movement, you know, don't have, you know, have some checkered past and stuff like that. They're the rougher people in some ways. They're not your polished homeschool kids. And, you know, a lot of us went to public school. So
sometimes a lot of these people are, I mean, a lot of these squishy types have just, I won't say the worst sin, but like the most, like, just pathetic sin, honestly. Like, running burner accounts to, like, snipe at your enemies, or to even snipe at your friends, really, to basically play the hero, basically syndrome from Incredibles, except, you know, less, I guess, formidable. Like, that's just pathetic.
I don't even think it was that. I don't think that's the, I would guess, be the more noble intention of what he was doing to say Scott Annual. But I think part of it's he was too afraid to criticize people.
Yeah.
Like, even fair criticism. Like, these are cowardly
sins. I mean, yeah, Joel Webin, he had sex with his girlfriend back in the day, and when he wasn't married, and, like, was running some Bible study called a church that was, like, some pseudo church plant. Okay. But obviously it was adjudicated. Yeah, it was adjudicated at the time.
Yeah, I mean, you can say that the counsel and discipleship he was given was bad. He'd agree with you, but he submitted to it. That counts for something. You know, he obeyed the people in over his charge. So, someone made this cartoon, and it's pretty satirical. It's maybe going to make Adult Swim. It's a little bit racy, but anyway.
Did I mention I speak ancient Greek? Welcome one and all, and uneducated peasants and scumbag anons who are lower than soap scum in Hades, or to the maiden episode of Two Bearded Cocks. And I am His Majesty, the great and well-read debater of debaters, prognosticator of prognosticators, published and far above any of you feeble lowlifes, and it is I, Air, drum roll please, I am Doctor with a capital D, James, I'm always right, White. Did I mention I speak ancient Greek and can read Hebrew, which just makes me better? I am joined by my co-host, Jeff smoked some meth Durban, aka the ninja, which basically means a grown ass man who dressed up in a ninja suit. Speaking of which, take that stupid mask off, man. You look utterly ridiculous. Just astonishing.
Thank you, Dr. James White. I am the ninja, and I'll kick you in your face if you disagree with me or dare criticize Greg Banson. I hate Stephen Wolf. I hate Anons because James hates Anons and because James hates Stephen Wolf. And this is all between the private phone call recording and public posting I like to do to relax after a hard day's hypocrisy.
So, that's the, like I said, with the referencing the recorded phone calls, that was referenced in the end there.
I mean, I don't understand how you have time to want to do this, but the Jeff Durbin part was better than the James White part, just throwing that out there.
I mean, there is some of that with James White when he kind of he is someone who uses credentialism against people as a cudgel, but does not have a credentialed doctorate. So there's a lot of irony there that is just palpable. Just my opinion on that. But you're right. The Jeff Durbin part was, yes, the part where he says, you know, I will.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's actually said that, or at least that's, or it's like tweeted out there in the ether. So they're just like taking his actual.
The kick you in the face thing. Yeah, the kicking you in the face thing was said by him. Like that was said. And I thought that's just so they captured that pretty well. It was pretty satirical. I like that. Now James White, he did not like that. Can you imagine? And he does address this in his video. So I'm gonna share his part. I'm gonna up the speed a little bit when we play the James White video. So this is James White's kind of response to it.
Vile. So there are some really, when I use the term vile, to me is a very strong word. And the stuff that we're seeing online from the Christian nationalist side, and it's not, there isn't just one Christian nationalist side. I understand that, but you know who I'm talking about, the Anon army of Christian nationalists. The level of discourse is crashing fast. And the sexual content, profanity content, violent content is just growing very, very rapidly. We're clearly not dealing with Christians here in many, many, many instances. Just there's tagging along because this is sort of something cool to do. So some guy put out a video. Now, they aren't trying to, this one isn't seriously trying to make it look like me or anything like that, but they're using my voice. They're using Jeff's voice. I can't even tell you the title they gave it because, again, it's not something that an actual Christian would ever say or do. Again, vile, sexual stuff. Just that's the way these people are.
Notice that he makes it a lot more sexual than it actually was.
Yeah, I mean,
like he's completely embellishing here. And clutching those, like, can he clutch them pearls any
harder?
What's
the word for rooster that is actually even in the Bible, the King James Bible?
In the King James?
It says cock in the King James Bible. Yeah. Also says, might say ass, I mean, too.
It does say that. So, also, you know, chickens are bawk, bawk, bawk. Like, there's a little bit of that to make a joke about. Yeah, he's embellishing here and pearl clutching. And pearl clutching is loser behavior. Just don't do that.
It's very much reminiscent of, you know, 12-year-olds, you know, out behind the gym telling dirty jokes. That's about the level of intellect and thought that's going into this. So they have this thing. Like, again, I won't tell you about what it says. But who pipes in and says something, says, this is art.
Okay. First interruption there is he won't tell you what it says, Why? Is it because of the part about Jeff Durbin secretly recording phone calls? Like, that's something that I don't think James White wants to draw attention to, is the people that he associates with. Because that's a pretty serious set.
I mean, I don't,
it's not recent, but I don't believe has he ever repented of doing that?
I mean, keep in mind the whole idea of even addressing this, like, video on your live show is just ridiculous. And it's loser behavior. Also, it's probably more immature to do that than to actually, like, make the video in the first place, because it just shows you how petty these people are. They're not shrewd. They're not really, like, savvy. They're not tacticians. They're just petty.
Yeah. And, you know, if that were me in the video, I don't know. I appreciate good humor.
This is Art Butt, Defiant Baptist. Yes, Defiant Baptist, who for some reason hid his tweets recently. And maybe he's back now. I don't know. He is? Yeah. Yeah, he hid his tweets for a while. In response to that kind of stuff, I'm reminded of a particular verse of scripture that talks about, and everybody knows Psalm 133:1, right? It says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. It is like the good oil upon the head coming down upon the beard, Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes." You know, it's talking about the anointing of Aaron, the high priest, and brothers dwelling together in unity. And wouldn't that be wonderful if we could do that? You know, the beard, the oil coming down upon Aaron's beard. That would be a wonderful thing.
That's
who wants to tackle that thick irony first at the end there?
But that's the verse of scripture that comes to mind from Mr. James White, who doesn't actually pursue unity with anyone that he has disagreements with on the internet. Or neither does
better Christians.
Yes. Neither does Doug Wilson. Who, you know, famously burned bridges. Neither does Jeff Durbin, who of course released a video that is still on YouTube to this day. Like, these people don't pursue unity with their brothers. They burned the bridges. They probably burned them beyond repair.
Jeff Durbin did pursue unity with Doug Wilson, you know, even despite their abortion differences. Right? Or am I thinking of someone else? But, you know, they haven't burned.
I mean, Jeff Durbin refused to share a stage with Stephen Wolf. Specifically, right. Stephen Wolf. Or you have the fact that James White went after Joel Webbin and a member of his church, again, a father with kids, over a tweet in a group chat. Then attacked his pastor, and you did that for a year. Like, these people don't pursue unity. It would have been easier less effort. The easiest path, the simplest path of just doing nothing, to have just ignored it and walked away and, like, just done your thing. And odds are his show would do better if he did that. But instead, he just does all this stuff because he doesn't actually care about unity. He wants to be his own pope.
Yes. I have a whole chapter in my book about evangelical popes and why we should never erect them. So there's your plug, by the way. Link's in the description.
Oh, sorry. That's a dirty word.
What? Oh. Yes. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah. A little bit of a dirty word there. Yeah. So never erect the evangelical popes. So yeah, we can't be doing that. And one of the things that we need to do in the Reformed community, broadly speaking, is we need to get past the petty infighting, and stuff like that. Like James White, you know, I won't attack him on a Sunday, anything like that. You know, I won't go after people like James White or Doug Wilson on a Sunday. And Doug Wilson, I even wrote a positive, mostly positive article about his church plant experiment that he has coming up in Washington, D.C. I'm actually very fascinated to see if this works. And, you know, I have my disagreements with Doug Wilson, but I actually want this church plant to succeed. He's trying to blitz scale a church plant, which is a very interesting strategy to go about doing it. And I'd write about that. You can totally check that out. But again, even though I have disagreements with people like this, it's like I want, I really do want unity with people like this, because there are bigger threats out there. But when you have things like the Antioch Declaration, which was written with a purpose of becoming a test of orthodoxy and fellowship with a certain sect of believers, even though it was poorly written, it was sinfully partial. The Antioch Declaration had sinful partiality in it. And we should not be showing any deference to pagan religions.
Even the whole trying to tackle Aristotle thing is just ridiculous. And I mean, again, there's a thin line of theology that of where that comes from. And again, I say this having in currently reading Rushdoony. And again, even his reasoning and logic kind of falls flat in certain areas. And it's especially where he critiques, you know, historical teaching.
So we need to have more respect for church history, understand that, you know, we stand on the shoulder of giants. So there's a bit of a return to tradition, Protestant retrievalism that's going on right now. And there needs to be some more pan-Protestant, especially pan-Reform unity, which is what the CREC, you know, Communion of Reformed Evangelical Churches, was supposed to be. But so, you know, Doug Wilson is not pursuing unity all the time. It would be nice if he were, though. So those are thoughts.
You can pick faults in various camps in the Christian community. And obviously the Reform camp is just petty, just unreasonably divisive over stupid issues. And this is one of them.
There's a little bit of excessive pearl clutching as well. Some people,
we don't need to do that. We don't need to engage in slop apologetics. Like, there's a lot of things we just don't need to do. Instead, we could be attacking real things.
Right. Like, I cannot get into the whole Catholic versus Protestant debate stage. Yeah, even though the title of this video is Evangelical Dark Web. Can't get into that because it's just too sloppy at times. And again, when I do have critiques of Catholicism, you know, they're legit. It's a feminized religion. And that's like my number one critique, I guess. You know, papal infallibility, sure. The fact that they changed their tradition and they actually changed their teachings, things like Vatican II, I don't approve of and stuff like that. Like, you know, those are my criticisms of Catholicism. But everything else is like, or a lot of these slop apologetic channels is like, is rehashing the same issues over and over again. It's just like, okay, I don't need to hear about Jesus, Joseph and Mary having, you know, gasms and stuff like that. And don't need to hear about, we don't need to be talking about that. So anyway,
not number one thing on my mind.
Yeah. Not even top 10 or, you know, 420. It's not a top 420 issue. There, dirty mind. That's a dirty mind test. So anyway, what's interesting also about James White is he is, as far as I can tell, still united in brotherhood with Michael Brown, who I just did a video on. I find that to be fascinating that, you know, he'll talk about him on his channel, but he hasn't touched that one. Because I think that drama with Michael Brown, his scandal, because that dude loves grabbing some cheeks, that scandal undermines James White's credibility, and he knows that. And he can't, if he were just to be honest about it, that would probably, people would move on, I think. That's my read on it. But the fact that he doesn't address it, and I would say has avoided addressing it purposely.
And again,
his time on social media.
Yeah, you run a social media tabloid show, yet you can't even touch literally touch a major, you know, sexual harassment.
Well, not sexual harassment. It wasn't really harassment until after the fact.
Well, sure. A sexual scandal involving one of your own, even though it's like pretty tabloidy.
I mean, people sensationalize that story way beyond what it was. But what Michael Brown admits to is bad enough. Like, I read the Firefly report. I did. It was feminist, so you basically couldn't. You had to take everything it said with like a huge filter. To And then it didn't really prove anything that was, you know, it wasn't able to prove its most salacious thing, which was the naughty phone call. So it wasn't able to do that. So let's see. That's actually a good observation again by Spanish Baptist. White shows that White showing that those kinds of videos can force his reaction only encourages more people to troll him.
And yeah.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, there's the saying, don't feed the trolls. Don't take the bait. You know, don't punch down. And James White is just, you know, he's, you know, Charlie Brown in the football every single time.
Yeah. I guess the last thing is, like, you know, because the anti-Christian nationalists are having real scandals, and, you know, I don't know if Michael Brown might count as an anti-Christian nationalist. I know he believes that Benny Hinn is more likely to have been saved than Martin Luther. So, yeah, gives you a nice insight into who Michael Brown's God is. And then Josh Bice. I don't think Steve Lawson was anti-Christian nationalist, but Josh Bice was, and then Chris K-Dub of K-Dub True was anti-Christian nationalist, and they both have had major scandals. And I'm sure the Brian Chappell guy was also anti-Christian nationalist.
Yeah, I mean, I just assume he was an institutional guy. I mean, again,
pathetic. He hated Carl Truman. Like,
well, again, he Carl Truman could have legitimately been on there for platforming Amy Bird. So it's like they both their names might have been written down at the same time. That's the almost the generous charitable read on that. If
the innocent explanation,
yeah, that's the innocent explanation is that those two were written down as a pair. And yeah, Carl Truman is responsible for creating that creature, Amy Bird.
Now I have a list of names on my desk of like people who popped up, you know, very recently that were, you know, that are suspicious to me, but I wouldn't call it my enemies list. Like, come on. Like, it's just a, you know, cause I write down lists all the time of to-do lists and stuff like that. So then I also have a tabulated list of, false teachers or alleged false teachers that people want me to research and like the number of requests. That's how I did the intake on Evangelical Dark Web to write about people and to do research about things. So I actually, you know, I have experience having lists of names. You know, one of them was submitted by readers and the other is like, okay, oh wait. And I also have a list of people that I want to have on the show. So I have a few different lists of names on my desk at my disposal, but man, I don't have a enemies list that's in a poorly written, you know, shove it all together in a sticky note. Like I didn't do that. Like that to me is like that. That's just hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, again, several of those people were dead probably long before he even wrote the list. Again, just petty incompetence.
Ex post facto.
And yes, obviously some of them weren't even like scandalous or even had scandals.
Now, I don't know if you have any anything on the Chris Dub K-Dub scandal that you wanted to talk about. I've probably given most of my takes. I just found it interesting that this guy was anti-Christian nationalist and had another scandal. I don't know how in bed he was within that movement, but I find the fact that anti-Christian nationalists are having scandal after scandal right now is interesting.
I mean, regarding him, I mean, it's almost like he became a stereotype.
Yeah.
After trying to, like, you know, play the race card for so long, even though he was always kind of like a midwit token that was, you know, propagated.
Yeah, he's in not. Space. And Jolly Brawler had the right take. Like, Vody Bachum, if he were white, you would still have heard of him. I think that's correct.
And again, the great thing about Vody is that he's actually a defender of traditional teaching.
But Chris K-Dub with his urban apologetics, yeah, you wouldn't know who he was if he were white. You wouldn't know. So, all right. That's kind of all we had. We got some meme review. And then, well, I guess we'll do last call for questions. So if you have some questions or whatever you want in the chat, I'll pull up the memes. This meme review is brought to you by Evangelical Dark Web's patrons. You can sign up for a patron-like system linked in the description below. And you can get access to bonus content. I did write a bonus story earlier this week. So we only got three memes today. Actually, the first one's a Chris K-Dub meme. I can't believe Netflix made a movie about the Steve Lawson situation.
Now, again, I push back on this one with harshness because, I mean, K-Dub was not a Steve Lawson. Steve Lawson was a Bill Belichick. Like, that was straight up Bill Belichick. This ain't that. I mean, this was just you were talking to a woman on the internet. Like, really? I mean, like, rule number one, I rarely, if ever, follow women on the internet. Not interested.
Hey, don't be simping.
No simping. This is the new Simpson.
But I thought that was pretty good. Very, very quick to make that meme. We got a SpongeBob meme right here. It is Nancy Mace at the House of Representatives, and it is a naked Mr. Krabs in the episode Algae's Always Greener, which I think is that's an S-tier SpongeBob episode. I believe it's in season 3. S-tier SpongeBob episode. One of my favorite episodes, in fact. Because I love the plankton lines in this episode, and the plankton line, they switch places is the plot of the episode where plankton switches places and switches lives with Mr. Krabs. And so plankton runs the Krusty Krab restaurant and Mr. Krabs is trying to steal a Krabby Patty so he can reverse engineer its secret formula. And you know, it's basically a corporate espionage plot, and he's going to, he's trying to steal a Krabby Patty. And the worst part about Mr. Krabs here is that he's naked. And then this frame right here is mid-scream on, good grief, he's naked. And the way they stop Mr. Krabs in this world is that they hit him with clothes to put clothes on him. And then he gives up. And they get him with a set of boob cups. And that's what makes him relent. This is an S-tier episode.
I mean, just the fact that it's comparing it to Nancy Mace, who's the biggest prostitute in Congress, which is really an achievement to be the biggest whore in Congress.
And then
how? Like, oh, because you're literally like, oh, well, you know, I'm going to show my naked body today.
And that's what she advertised.
That's what she advertised. And again, I looked on the YouTube video, C-SPAN, YouTube page for a friend, of course, and I didn't see anything.
Yeah, I mean, it was bait, obviously.
Yeah, she was baiting, and you know, I was researching for a friend and didn't see anything.
The other funny thing about the scene in SpongeBob was after he says, "Good grief, he's naked!" Like the shine on Mr. Krabs dings, like ding is like a twinkle, but yeah, Nancy Mace is trying to do this, and no one wants to see it.
Like she's 47, for the record. And, you know, she's claiming she was, like, you know, violated at the ripe old age of 45, which is, you know, the second occurrence in her life.
I don't really buy her Me Too story, but I also don't care. This one, here's a excellent meme right here. Donald Trump, after the SCOTUS rules, we don't get to have a country. And then Andrew Jackson's portrait. It is a scene from Spider-Man, Tobey Maguire, the goat Spider-Man with Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin, where, you know, he takes the Green Goblin serum or whatever and is going crazy. And the mask is talking to him. So the mask is Andrew Jackson's portrait. Love it. Great meme. Great find. Excellent reference there.
I mean, yeah, we need Trump to cross the Rubicon. We need him to bit, even though I think the whole Trail of Tears happened after Jackson, and it was also after the second Seminole War at the time. But
the Seminole, so
Jackson gets a lot of false, I guess, reputation for for his dealings with the Indians, even though he was actually like the most diplomatic with them.
The
presidents in that era.
Right.
Fun fact. But yeah, Trump needing to basically say, yeah, go ahead and enforce it. Again, I think he's perhaps waiting on this whole budget thing to pass so he can just do his job without having to worry about Congress. But he doesn't need to negotiate. He doesn't need to be, you know, flaunting the rule of law while Congress is negotiating over his big, beautiful bill and finding ways to screw things up. So there's a lot of dynamics at hand.
This is the last
meme. The Rubicon all day long.
I don't know if we did this meme. This meme comes from Natural Law Theonomist. That's a better name than I have given it credit for. Mid-roll ads during a live stream. It's like Bible dingers. Rubbing their hands together, getting ready for some mid-roll ads in a live stream. Which, by the way, you have to go out of your way to put mid-roll ads on a live stream. I posted a screenshot showing what a live stream looks like when it's monetized on YouTube. And the default setting is you manually have to put them in. Or you can make YouTube put them in, which you have to change that setting too. Or you can have it on a timer, which again is more work for you. In any case, unless you do the recommended let YouTube put manage your live roll or mid rolls on a live stream, you have to go out of your way to change that setting. Just saying. I will never do that. Just to be clear, I'm not interested in that. So YouTube does not pay enough to via its ads to want to do that. So those are my four memes for today. We got any questions?
No, certainly some bangers in the bunch.
Good comments. Yeah. Anyway, I guess we'll wrap it up then. So let me close out screen. So yeah, that's basically all I got for today. This is the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you're new. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.